Brother Jack if I had to. He said, yeah, get up there. It never gets better. And I'm glad that, actually, if this isn't my fault. If something goes south tonight, blame Brother Dilbert. I went up and asked him if I could give a five-minute testimony. He said, would you like to preach next week? I said, well. He said, would you preach next week? I said, I guess. You're going to make me put it that way. I will, but we'll let it rip. And the Lord had given me a message here a while back and just put some things together here. And it's still a maze of confusion as I look at it. I'm in big trouble. But just thought, in the testimony, as far as the testimony goes, things just couldn't be going a whole lot better, really. I just cannot believe the volume that the Lord has allowed us to get out. That's a lot, and I'm thankful for it. The Lord allowed us to put some in Belgium here a while back, and the brother got a real blessing out of that when he received those pictures, right? And we got a green light, looks like we're safe. But we got to put the scripture signs in Belgium. We just got an order this past week from going to Russia, Lithuania, and the first time to Kazakhstan. So we're getting to put them in Kazakhstan. That, if you don't know where that country is just south of Russia and on the west side of China and up northeast of Georgia there, Georgia, Republic of Georgia, and to the other side of Latvia. But that's a great open door right there. But that missionary wants scripture T-shirts. He wants magnets. He wants road signs in all their languages. So we praise the Lord for that, too. That's a real blessing there. So I cannot wait. Got into that this morning a little bit with all the translations and working back and forth with that missionary. A lot goes into it, and I'm thankful for that. So that's what else you're doing there. And I know that many of you didn't know. I know we were here, I was here on a Wednesday, I think, a week ago Wednesday. And the seed shop over here, to me, it's been kind of slow getting going, although a lot's being done. We're doing everything we can. Brother Jonathan, I think, I don't know if he's in here tonight, but he's probably over there working now, making boxes. We cannot make boxes fast enough to put them out. All the stuff is just going out so fast. I'm so thankful for it. But we have never shipped from the seed shop yet here at the church. It's been a real burden of mine to get that thing going to where Brother Andrew could take over that, and he'll pick them off the shelves, pick the scriptures off the shelf and put them in a box and ship them out from here. And he'll take him on his lunchtime and take him at, on Wednesday of last week. I don't know what you all were doing. But it came together. It just came together. And pushed the button there, and that little printer thing wasn't working right. It's full of the devil, brother. These electronic junk. I tell him, Brother Jack, this stuff is full of the devil. And worked on that computer for hours over there, hours. Sat over there for hours, frustrated. Got on the phone, called the manufacturer, tried to get him on the phone and get that thing working there, that little demonic printer that I had bought for $75. Didn't want to spend $250 like I have one at the house. And got the cheapie. And there's another story to that coming here in a little bit. But we shipped two of them from our church. And there's a lot more coming. As far as I'm concerned, there's a lot more coming. So I'm thankful for that. We get asked to do all kinds of things. And here's one of them. One brother in our church, and I won't name any names right now, but this is his bicycle helmet. He likes to bike. He's a biker. That brother put scriptures all over his bike helmet. Amen. So when he's tooling up and down them paths out there, the word of God's going out. People stop, they get drinks, you know, and walk around and mingle around. He's wearing that helmet with the word of God on it. Say, will you put the word of God on a helmet on a bicycle? Yeah, why not? Amen. I don't think there's anywhere where is a bad place to put the Word of God. I like that. I'm all for that. I'm for what these guys want. One brother called me up from Missouri, and he wanted this one, how to get out of going to hell free. And he's passing out all these little cards. I changed a little bit. Didn't like how it was worded before, but I changed a little bit. How to get out of going to hell free, the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's Brother Mark Velder out there in Missouri. And to take it a step farther. Now, Brother Mark, he's radical. He's a man's man. He's a tough bird. He's a bad dude. And this is Brother Mark right here. This is how he dresses up to go out there and pass out those tracts right there. And it says right there in the Word of God, to the weak I became as weak that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men that by all means I might save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake. They've got a big event out there with all the different costumes and things. I forget what it's called, Brother Chris. What's that called? Comic-Cos? Comic-Con. And they dress up like all the comic book characters. He's out there amongst them all, just blending in with them and passing out. And everybody's taking them. So why not? Amen. I know men in Pensacola, they dressed up like priests and went out there and passed out tracts. I'm not sure I'd do that, but I'm okay if they're doing it. Amen. I'm for it. So praise the Lord. I'm for these guys. I got a brother down in Mississippi, a pastor down there. He likes Elvis. And I said, well, I don't know. He said, I know it's fleshy. And I said, yeah, I guess it is. So I made this for him. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. That's why you need Jesus Christ. And I'm going to send that to that bird down there. And he's going to get a kick out. It's going to edify him. It's going to help him a little bit. So I'm for that. That's all right. That's okay. You know, it's okay to enjoy your Christian life a little bit instead of being like a bump on a log. Amen. So we're having a good time doing it, and I like doing it. But and here's another brother right here. He had me make these. Need prayer. And he's got a booth set up. And he puts these things out there. Need prayer. People driving by. People walking by in the fair. That's a good thing right there. I'll do that. I'll do that for that brother. And asked me to do a whole host of other stuff, so we thank God for all that stuff, and praise the Lord for it. So a lot of things go on behind the scenes, and that you're doing that you don't even know about, and I just wanted to show you a little bit of it right here. So we're thankful for it. That Belgium thing was a big deal. It opened up doors where people stopped there. They wound up, because of the scripture signs, and that's what that missionary told me, the scripture signs led them to talk to other people, other Christians that came by, and they got them joined together. Now there's a couple churches getting together because of that, and they want more scripture signs. And it just evolved and built up, and where these guys are working together now, and it's all because they put out the Word of God. They just sowed the seed of the Word of God in their language. They said they had a hard time even communicating with them. Brother Allen knows all about that. But they finally got to talking to each other. And now they got two churches coming together. They got translators in one church where they didn't in the other church. And now they're talking to each other. And we praise the Lord for that. So that's a good thing. And I'm thankful for it. So I could go on for a long time, but we don't have a long time tonight. Yeah, I want to get out of here in a couple hours. So let's take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 14. Let's go there. A lot more going on. I'd love to tell you about it. We'll do that another day. But I'm thankful for all the help we're getting. The volunteers are incredible. So much is happening over there in that little shop, little by little, inch by inch. The yard, it's hard, but it's sometimes difficult, yes. But, I've made up my mind. We're going to do it. Romans chapter 14, verse 5. It says this, and I'm just going to look at a couple places in the scriptures throughout the Bible here, a different place. I'm going to read two passages from the Old Testament. I'll just read them. Don't turn there if you don't mind. And but we want to turn to three of them here. Romans chapter 14, verse 5 says this. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Then it says this. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Take your Bible and turn to James chapter 1. Brother Jack turned to this passage this morning. About had a heart attack. Thought, oh, I know where he's going. He's going to my verse. He's going to my verse. And then he chose another verse, and I had that on my paper. Thought, oh boy, we're going to have a doubleheader this day. But James chapter 1, verse 8, and James chapter 4, verse 8. Turn there, please. James chapter 1, verse 8. It says this. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We just read a verse that says, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Then James says there, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now James chapter 4, verse 8. Look at that. James chapter 4 and verse 8. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. To you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts. Look what it says. Ye double-minded. You can't draw nigh to God if you're double-minded. You're not set. You're not fixed. You're double-minded. You're twisted a little bit. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Draw nigh unto God. He will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts. Ye double-minded. Joshua said this. He said in Joshua 24:15, he said, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. Then he said this, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua made up his mind. He settled that thing that he's going to go ahead and serve God with his house. He wasn't double-minded about it. He was persuaded about it in his mind. He said, choose you this day. He said, make a choice. Pick it out. Decide tonight. Make a choice what you're going to do. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. You know what Elijah said? Make up your mind. He said, I'm tired of watching you people go back and forth, doing this and doing that, doing right, doing wrong. Just make up your mind what you're going to do. And I believe this, that God is sick and tired, and it must grieve the heart of God with indecision. People that just can't make a decision on which way they're going to go. That's what I want to preach about tonight. I want to preach a message I've entitled, and you can title it either way. There's two ways I've entitled it. I've made up my mind, or make up your cotton picking mind. Brother Jack, would you pray for us? Word. Amen. Thank you, Brother Jack. And one of the things, like I just said, must grieve the heart of God is indecision. And Miss Katie, as I was walking in tonight, she said, "You going to skin us?" And I don't know if the Lord's going to do it or not, but let me tell you this. He skinned me first this morning. I'd wake up, as you most of you know, I wake up very early in the morning. I get up at normally 3 or 3:16. Normally 3:16 I like to get up. And I just like that number. And I was born on that date. And I like it. That's when I wake up. I don't set an alarm clock. I just get up at 3:16. And sometimes after, sometimes before, but I was up early again this morning. And I told my wife, I was getting out of bed, and I said, I think I need to change my message a little bit. I'm going to take page number three, and make it page number two, and then make it page number two, make it number three. And then I got out to the shop out there. I staggered out there and got out there, and I got sitting down. I got to thinking about, man, I really think I need to put page three onto page two and start the message that way and get things sorted out. And I was tossing that thing back and forth. And you know, the Lord smote me real bad right there and said, "You know what? You're as double-minded as your message is." And I thought, man, Lord, you're right. I laughed out loud when me and the Lord, we cut up all the time. I don't know if you do or not. God does laugh, amen. And we cut up. He's my father. Can't you laugh with your dad from time to time? And we cut up all the time. I mean, we laughed out there. I just had a blast. And I said, "Okay, Lord, you're right. I'm going to leave it like it was. I've had this thing for part of a week." I said, "I'm just going to leave it like it is." So you've heard the expression, now wait just a cotton-picking minute. Another guy said this. He said, "Are you out of your cotton-picking mind?" And that's what I want to preach about. Make up your cotton-picking mind tonight. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, He's never had to do that. He always knows exactly what He's going to do. He don't wonder about it. He don't toy with it. He knows exactly what He's going to do. The Bible says this in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." What was in the mind of Christ Jesus? Jesus made up His mind that He would be ready to give grace. Jesus made up His mind that He would be ready to give peace. Jesus had made up His mind in eternity that He was ready to give strength. Jesus had made up His mind that He's willing to give happiness. Jesus had made up His mind that He's willing to give forgiveness. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 77, the Bible says this about Jesus Christ, to give knowledge of salvation. Jesus said in Luke 1:79, to give light to them that sit in darkness. In Luke 21 verse 15, Jesus said, "For I will give you a mouth and wisdom." In John chapter 10 and verse 28, Jesus said this. He said, "And I give unto them eternal life." No question about it. No indecision about it. He said, "I'm going to give them, you and me, all of us in here, eternal life. If you'll come to Jesus Christ by faith." Not only that, He said, "I'll give unto them eternal life." He said, "And they shall never perish." He said, "There's no doubt about it. If I give unto them eternal life, they'll never perish." Amen. Jesus said this in John chapter 14, verse 27. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." He's a giver. Then He said in Luke 11, verse 13, "Give." He said He would give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. The Lord Jesus Christ made up His mind way back in eternity that He would come and die for the sins of the world. Why don't you make up your mind tonight to be a giver like the Lord Jesus Christ? Don't sit back and wait for somebody else to give. Maybe nobody else will give, but you can give. Amen. I want to be a giver like the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. "For God loveth a cheerful giver." I like the cheerful part. I get a kick out of it. I like to try to give from time to time and do things behind the scenes and just take and try and be a blessing from time to time and do things that and I get a blessing. It's a cheerful thing to do, to give. Jesus Christ, back in eternity, before the foundation of the world, He's a giver. Amen. I want to be a giver. And I want to give something away tonight. And He don't know I'm going to do this. But I want to do this. I want to give this to Brother Jack tonight. I got this thing. I've been thinking about it. And it's a carnal thing. Kind of my nature. This is for Grandpa Jack. That's a soft baseball, so you don't hurt your grandbabies when you get to playing baseball with them. Ain't that nice? And this is an official Louisville Slugger baseball bat. That's from Louisville. You went there, didn't you? I think you went there. Did you get one of these when you was there? This is a genuine Jack Butts Louisville Slugger. Ain't that nice, brother? Swing that once. Give that a good swing. Don't hit your wife. Amen. Watch the backswing. That'd be terrible. That's something that would happen on my watch. Amen. That's exactly what something would happen. But I was thinking about that. Jack's bat. Amen. And we'll give Jack a bat. Amen. I bought myself one here 3 years ago. I thought, man, I keep looking at that. And I use it for exercise. I swing that thing and swing that thing and swing that thing to try to lose weight and get in shape and all that kind of thing. But that was not a hint. Amen. I knew. That's how you'll be. You swing that bat. Amen. But you're welcome. Not exactly how I pictured this thing going. Brother Jack, amen, he's been a blessing to me. And I thought, well, I just want to be a blessing. I want to be a giver from time to time. Sometimes you just got to quit thinking about it. Amen. And do it. Amen. And you're double-minded half the time. When you think about things and you don't do it, sometimes you got to do it whether you're certain about it or not. And he may be right, may be wrong. Who knows? Let the Lord sort it out. But get your heart right with God and pray about it and go do something for Jesus Christ. Amen. Be a blessing. Before the foundation of the world, God said this. Jesus said this. Get this now in John chapter 17, verse 24. Father Jesus talking now. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. Isn't that something? Thou hast given me. God took and gave us to Jesus Christ. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world. The Bible says there that Jesus Christ was given, those were given to Jesus Christ. And before the foundation of the world, Jesus had made up his mind that Jack Butch would have salvation in Jesus Christ if he would receive him by faith. And Jack Butch would have his burdens taken away by Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, back in eternity, Brother Jack, he was thinking about Jack Butch back in eternity, that he would take his sins and his debt and all of his sorrow and all of the weight of his burden of the ministry and everything else, and bear that burden and the weight of the stress and all of his guilt that he's ever had. Jesus Christ had Jack Butch on his mind back in eternity, amen. And he had you and me. No indecision whatsoever. He's going to give us things. Salvation sealed the deal for Brother Jack. And grieve not this Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Jesus Christ made up his mind. Will you tonight? Have you made up your mind? Or would you make up your mind tonight? Some of our most important choices have a timeline. If we delay a decision, the opportunity is gone forever. Sometimes our doubts keep us from making a choice that involves change. We don't like change. I don't like to change. The older I get, I hate change. Thus, the opportunity of the will of God is gone. You've got to take and make up your mind. Decide. Choose. Choose and involves change. Many folks are as happy as they make up their minds, to be Abraham Lincoln said. Paul said this, I think myself happy. You're as happy as you want to be tonight. Say, I'm not happy. Well, that's your choice. You don't have to be. I'm happy. I'm not necessarily enjoying myself right now, but I'm happy. Amen. Scared to death. But you know, it's the will of God. It's God's calling. I'm supposed to be here tonight. God put me here tonight. I didn't choose this. Brother Dilbert did through God. God said to be here. God said to be here. If you don't make up your mind, one guy said this. He said, if you don't make up your mind, your unmade mind will unmake you. That's true. Muhammad Ali said this. He said, it's hard to beat a guy when he's made up his mind he's going to win. Boy, that's true. It's hard to take down a guy who's made up his mind, I'm going to win. You might fail, but you got to make up your mind to try. You might fail. I fail all the time at things. Little things. I'm a miserable failure, actually. That's true. It really is. I tried to fast here a while back. I told a brother in our church, and it was a physical fast, not a spiritual fast. I don't talk about it normally when I'm fasting, but I fast regularly, really. And it's good to do. Paul said I fast off. And I was going to pull off a seven-day water fast. No food. I've done it many times before. But I was going to do a seven-day water fast. But the only thing I forgot was that I'm 64. And about the fifth day, I got to feeling a little bit weak. And about the sixth day, I couldn't get off the couch. which isn't normal, amen. They say you get this burst of energy after 5 days. A clarity of mind, you know. You watch all these YouTube. You'll be clear as a bell after 6 days. Buddy, I'm staggering around. I'm laying on the couch. Yvette said, "What's wrong with you, hubby? Why don't you get up?" I said, "It's eat by, you know, they when you do a fast, you know, what happens is when you quit eating after 70, I think it's 17 hours, you go into ketosis where your body begins, instead of eating food, it eats fat, amen? And that's the goal, is get rid of your fat. And that's what I was trying to do, get rid of my fat. And my fat was, you know what else it does? It eats away at your muscle. And this muscle up here started getting nibbled away at. I mean, I knew something was going south when I had this darting pain going through my chest, amen. And it wasn't my heart, I knew that. But I thought, man, just from the knowledge I had of what happens when you fast, that your fat gets eaten away and then it can't eat some of the muscle. And your heart is a muscle. Thank God it wasn't eating my heart. I mean, I thought it was, but it wasn't. It was eating my chest, amen. Eat my chest away at 64 years old. So I had to quit. I say, what'd you do? Get me some electrolytes. And I was drinking a bunch of electrolytes all through it, amen. But I failed miserably. But I did lose 11 and a half pounds. So that was a good thing. And say, would you do it again? Maybe 3 days, amen. I think we backed it off to 3 or 4 days now. And sometimes I'm doing a dirty fast. I'll just drink a protein drink at noon, and that's it for the day, amen. And go at it that way, and it's all good. But I failed, so you got to make up your mind. I made up my mind I was going to try it. Hey, what are you trying, amen? Have you ever tried it? Just don't eat for a day. Yeah. That's funny, Brother Schleck. You're nuts. I know that. I know all that. Set that aside just for a moment, amen. When's the last time you didn't eat for a whole day? Amen. When's the last time you didn't eat for 2 days? When's the last time you didn't eat for 3 days? That's a very scriptural thing to do. It's healthy for you. It's very good for you. Even though I mess it up, I can mess up anything. I tried cutting my hair there a while back, a week or two ago. And Yvette was busy. She normally cuts my hair. And I was cutting my hair out there in the shop, and I was busy, just a lot going on, and had Moose out there with me. And if y'all don't know who Moose is, Moose is my baby. He's a little four-legged rascal about that big. Love that little guy. And he was out there with me, and I said, well, I'll just touch this thing up. You know, it's getting a little woolly. And about 3 weeks ago, so I went out there, I was in the mirror, I'm going to try it. I thought, I'm just going to thin it out a little bit. You know, you got these scissors, you know. They ever see these scissors that are thinning shears? They got the little, they're kind of serrated there, and they got notches every other one. You cut like every other hair. You don't cut it all. You don't even know it's gone, really. You snip it. The barber does it. Then you brush it out, and it's gone, and you don't even know. It's just thinner, amen, lighter. Figured I'd lose some weight that way, too. And I thought, well, I'll do that. So I sat there at the mirror, and I'm rushing and hurrying, trying to keep her from having to fool with a half-hour haircut, 45 minutes. I ain't got time for that. And so I'm out there in the mirror in my print shop. Here's the magnet man, amen. I'm going snip, 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 and that's all good, amen. Praise the Lord for that. I'm starting to brush it out, and here comes old Moose. He hits me in the back of the leg, and my leg's doing this. I said, Moose, quit. And he's wanting to go out and go pee or poop or something. I don't know what he's wanting to do, but he's hitting me in the back of the leg. I'm saying, Moose, quit. And I got frustrated with him. I said, no, just sit down there, buddy. And so I go back to cutting my hair. I had brushed out the hair, and I went and grabbed my scissors, amen. But I grabbed the other scissors, the straight scissors, amen, the real sharp scissors, amen. And I went up there, and I knew what I was doing before. I slipped that thing clear down to the bottom, and whack, amen, and cut a big chunk out of my head. My hair, a big old hack left, fell down in the sink there. And I looked down like that. I said, I'm in big trouble. This is like a Wednesday morning. When we got church on Wednesday night, I thought, man, how am I going to fix this? This is unfixable. So I go into the house, and I got to tell her. That's the last person I want to tell. I got to go in there and tell Yvette. And I go in there, and I walk in, you know, my head held high, hoping she don't see nothing right away. And she said, hello, hubby. And I walk in there, and I said, look at this. And I went like that. I've got to bend over like that so she can see it, amen. And I bent over like that. She said, what did you do? I said, I cut my hair. I said, Moose hit the back of my leg. And I went, what? And I said, what am I going to do? We got church. church tonight. I said, I can't miss church for 3 weeks. What am I going to do? And if you wondered why I kept standing up when people talk to me, amen, I stand up. Y'all didn't notice. Thank the Lord. And I walk in here, and I got it brushed, his head covered it up the best I could, amen. And I got the thing covered up, and it wasn't covered, amen. And she said, they'll just think you're going bald. That's all. It's just a fresh bald spot, honey. Don't worry about it. Just a fresh bald spot happening up there. I said, oh no, this ain't going to pass for a bald spot. This looks awful. So I had to come into church and hold my chin up like that. Y'all probably thought I was getting kind of snubby or something like that. I held my chin up so nobody could see it. I mean, I stand up anytime somebody shake my hand. It was terrible because Dave Cross came over there and stood right over me, brother. I know you had to have seen that, amen. He had to have seen it. It was awful, amen. But you got to try some things sometimes. You just got to try them by faith, amen, and quit being double-minded about everything. You're going to fail. I'd rather fail trying to do something for God than to sit back and do nothing for God. Is your mind cluttered tonight? You got a lot of stuff on your mind. We all do. Of course it's cluttered. You're double-minded many times. You see, it's really very simple. It's not cluttered at all. Jesus chose to die for you. Will you choose to live for him and quit being so double-minded? You got to make up your mind. The saints of old made up their mind. Peter said this in Matthew 16, 15, and 16. Jesus said unto him, but whom say ye that I am? Jesus asked Peter that. And Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. No double-mindedness whatsoever. He had the answer. He said he knew whom he believed there. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. God went to Isaiah one time in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8 and 9. He said, I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Question mark. Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go. There wasn't no indecision about it. Isaiah didn't have to sit and go to the altar about it. He said, I'm just going to go for God because God said so. The blind man, Matthew chapter 9, verse 28. And when he was come into the house, the blind man came unto him, and Jesus saith unto him, believe ye that I am able to do this? That's what God asked you tonight. Am I able to do this? What's on your mind and heart that you want to do for God? Am I able to do it? Am I able to walk with you and talk with you and guide you? Am I able to do it? They said, yea, Lord, would you? Martha said this in John chapter 11, verse 26 and 27. And whosoever, Jesus said, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe. Thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. One fellow said, I used to think I was indecisive, but now I'm not sure. Tonight is time to make up your cotton-picking mind. Brother, it's time to quit sitting there wondering what I'm going to do for God. Is it going to embarrass me? Is it going to embarrass my family? Am I going to make it? Am I not going to make it? Should I do this or should I not do this? Big decisions, I know. But brother, with the Lord, God said, without me, you can do nothing. He said, with God, all things are possible. Quit being so double-minded about it. Chosen of God. God chose you. God made up his mind. He chose you. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6, for thou art a holy people, and I know the context. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. You know, we can apply that to the church of God today, the church of the body of Christ today. That God's chosen us. He chose us to be a special people unto himself, above all people upon the... I mean, there's a lot of people in this earth, but here we sit in Trinity Baptist Church, saved, born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, a special people unto God, chosen of God, chose you. He chose you. Would you choose him? Would you choose to do something for him? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. 2 Timothy 2, verse 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Those who are chosen of God carry with them a desire to be different for God. I'm going to be different. I don't care what this world thinks. You got scripture signs in your car. Every head bowed, every eye closed. It is what I is. Why won't you put a scripture sign in your car? It's the Word of God. It is the Bible. You come to Trinity Baptist Church, it's a heavy, heavy emphasis on the Word of God. Would you put us, you're toying with it now, you're double-minded right now. If you're toying with it, you're double-minded. Why don't you just say, yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do it. I'm deciding right now, I'm going to put the Word of God in my car. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what my husband says. I don't care what my wife says. I don't care what my kids say. I don't care what Mama says. I don't care what Daddy says. I don't care what Grandma says. I don't care what Grandpa says. I'm going to put the Word of God in my car. Double-minded. Don't toy with it. Put the Word of God out. You're chosen of God. Desire to be different. If you're chosen of God, those who are chosen of God are determined to give it all to Him. You're determined. There's some of us, some of you out here, you're determined to give it all to God. But you're not quite there. You're still toying with it in some areas. There's areas where you're toying with. You're not sure how involved in Trinity Baptist Church you should get involved in. You know, don't even toy with it. Just find where you're going to fit in a ministry here. Lots of ministries here. You don't got to come to the Magnetic Scripture Sign Ministry or the Seed Shop. Man, there's lots of needs in this church. I'm so sure of it. Determined to give it all to Him. Those who are chosen of God delight in His Word, and that can't be diminished. I can't help it tonight. I wasn't born this way, I know that. I know how I was born. I was born wrong. And when I got saved, I got right in that area. When I got born again, I got saved. And then something started swelling up in me. I can't even explain what happened. I mean, I can now because you know the Word of God. I got born again. I had it got the new man inside me. And that old man, it was still there. And all of a sudden, I had this conflict going on. This old guy kept wanting to go do drugs. This old guy wanted to keep drinking. This old guy wanted to go back to the bar. This old guy wanted to keep his hair long. This new guy kept saying, don't do that. Quit doing that. You don't need that. And I had this conflict going on. And then I wanted to get the Word of God out. I got in a Bible-believing church. I wasn't in a Bible-believing church for 19 years of my life growing up. Then about 20 years old, I got born again and got into a Bible-believing church. And them people radical and fanatical and they're street preaching. And they're getting on the street and passing out tracts and sowing seed. I didn't know what a tract was. But I knew it was right. You know something's right to do. You better be doing it. To him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And that's what you do. If you know it's right to do, and you're not doing it, it's sin. You got to at least confess it. So God, I'm double-minded about that. I'm wishy-washy about that. I'm not settled that, God. And I'm going to get to an old-fashioned altar. I'm going to get in my bedroom tonight. And I'm going to settle that thing. I'm done being double-minded about the Word of God. Double-minded. They delight in the Word of God. The chosen of God delight in the Word of God, and that can't be diminished. I can't help it. Those who are chosen of God carry with them a dedication to serve God till death. I didn't get in this thing to get out of it. I got in it to stay in it until the very end. I'm not planning on quitting doing what I'm doing. We're just going to do a whole lot more of it. Can't wait. Sow the seed, get the Word of God out. A dedication. You're chosen. God chose you. There's a devotion that can't be shaken by this world. You know, we live in this world. And we can enjoy the things of this world. I mean, I went down there to Dolly World and Dollywood, where that place is called down there, that infernal place. It's all right, but a lot of it drives me nuts, amen. Some of that music down there just drives me cuckoo. And some of them, well, anyhow, I went down there and what did we go down there for? Christmas or something? We went down there and strolled around, saw the lights. They had that drone show. I fly a drone from time to time, and my son, and we do that, and fly drones, and airplanes, helicopters, and stuff. And I enjoy doing that, but I'm not taken by it. I'm not ate up with it, that's for sure. Went down there to Dolly World, and got to see them drones is amazing. Somebody needs to tell me, how do you get fireworks on a drone? How them fireworks came off them words that were up there, I think it was Dollywood's anniversary or something, how they did that was beyond me. But that didn't shake me. I was putting sticky notes all over that place. Take the opportunity, amen. Put the Word of God out. My wife come back from the restroom. She said, I got sticky notes in that restroom. I said, amen. And we went and put little sticky notes all over Dollywood, amen. Just a good old mission field. You got to have a good time doing it. And that cinnamon bread, amen. That's why I had to fast, amen. That cinnamon bread got me, amen. It was really good. Really good stuff. But it didn't shake me. Still put the Word of God out. Still had a good time. Still was happy. Chosen of God. There's a devotion, a dedication. The chosen of God carry with them a dream to do what others refuse to do. I consider it a challenge to do what other people can't do and don't want to do. I'm just going to get the Word of God out, care if they like it or not. I've made up my mind. I've made up my mind that the King James Bible is the Word of God, and I'm going to follow what it says. I've made up my mind that that old blessed black back book right there, that's the Word of God right there, that Holy Bible right there. There's something special about that book. That's not a book. That's not some book. That's not another book. That is the book of God right there. That's the way of life right there. That book right there will guide you all through your life. It'll save your soul. It'll bless your heart. It'll help you get through the hard times. It'll help you get through the tough times. It'll help you get through tomorrow. That book is settled. I'm settled, amen. I've made up my mind. That King James Bible is the Word of God. And I'm going to follow what it says until the day I drop dead, amen. Care what this world thinks. Go ahead, laugh at me. Laugh at me. Make fun of me when I carry my Bible around. Make fun of me when if I take the Word of God and I stand on a street corner, hold a sign up. Go ahead and laugh at me if I preach on the street and I look like a nun. If I hold up a heaven or hell sign, go ahead and laugh. God's going to have the last laugh, big boy. And we're on the winning side, brother. I've made up my mind. That's the Word of God right there. Brother, that changed my life. Changed my entire cotton-picking life, amen. I've made up my cotton-picking mind. That's the Word of God. It's pure, it's perfect, it's powerful. It needs to be published, it needs to be preached, it needs to be presented to this lost and dying world. Some fashion or another. Why do you keep it to yourself so much of the time? Because you're double-minded. I've made up my mind that souls are going to hell, and I'm going to do something about it. Souls are traveling up and down that highway out there, and they're going to heaven, or they are going to hell. Oh, the whole bunch of them. You can do something about it. I've made up my mind, I'm going to do something about it. I've made up my mind that the Bible says that without faith it's impossible to please God, and sometimes you just got to make up your mind to step out by faith and do it. I don't know. I don't have a secular job anymore. I had one. I had a secular job once. And now I'm living by faith, trusting the Lord. I don't have 401k. I don't have a retirement plan. In fact, I'm not planning on retire ever. My retirement plan went a long time ago, amen. My 401 went, and it's okay. I hope you got it, amen. Put it in a plate, amen. Hope you got a lot of it. Support missions, amen, brother. Sometimes you just got to step out by faith. When's the last time you did something by faith? No, we've been loading wood. I don't know, y'all don't probably know, but when I built my first shop down there where we live outside our house, it didn't have no heat in it. And I did it that way because I like wood. I like to burn wood. And Brother Ron Cook and these other men, Brother Jack back there, we like to burn wood. And I burn wood in the house, and I burn wood in the seed shop number one down there, the base station, whatever we want to call it, where we live. And I got an old box stove. And for the last, since 2010, what is that, 15 years? Been hauling wood in, getting wood every single summer. I don't know what y'all do, but I get wood every single summer for the whole winter time. I get out there in the morning, and I get my wood in there, put my kindling in there, and I split all that, and I get my wood in there, and I get a fire going, so it's very, very cold in the winter time out there, and I get the heat going, and amen, it's a blessing. I love seeing the fire in that box stove with that window there. I just love it, amen. Helps me. Gives me dopamine. Brother Jack, since you mentioned that dopamine that one time, I looked up that word. I've been using that for a long time now, ever since you mentioned that. I get dopamine so much of the day, amen. I'm a dope, amen. Amen. Because I say, why, Brother Sutton? Because I'm just full of dopamine, amen. The Word of God gives me dopamine, amen. The box stone gives me dopamine. Moose gives me dopamine, amen. I'm full of dopamine, wherever it comes from, amen. Makes me happy, I know that. Happiness makes dopamine, I think it is. But we needed a heat and air conditioner. It's getting rough. It takes a lot of time to get wood. You know what the Lord laid on my heart to do? He said, why don't you get you one of those, we got mini splits out here, they're called. And we had those installed, and faithful brother did that and put those in there, and God took care of that. And I thought, that we're going to put a mini split in the one we got now. I've been putting wood in there for 15 years because it's getting hard to get wood every summer, and takes a lot of time. And I don't have time no more, and it's hard. And I thought, you know what? I called the brother up. I said, what's it going to cost to have a mini split put in there? He said, about $3,500. I said, order it. much money to have. Amen. Sometimes you just got to step out by faith and do it. I put that out there, and I know, through the years, we've had many people, Brother Dilbert and many others, say, if you ever have a need, brother, churches all over the states, they say, if you ever have a need, let us know about your need. And I don't do that normally. I just pray about it and say, God, you touch those that are talking to you, and you tell them that we have a need. And I kind of work it like that. And but I decided to just throw a prayer letter out there, not a prayer letter really, but just a note to the churches out there, the body of Christ. And I said, we have, many of you have asked if we ever have a need. I said, well, we have a need. We do have a need. We'd like to get a, and I explained it to them about the wood and everything. I said, it's about $3,500. And I thought, well, whenever the Lord brings it in, we'll get one. And it was the next morning. A brother called and said, Brother Schlecky, is it okay if we make a donation on your website to help toward that mini split thing? I said, sure, brother. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. Right, I mean, right away, I had a response. I thought, well, he's going to probably get 50 or 60, 100 bucks, maybe. Who knows? I couldn't wait to get and check it on the website there. And I got on there and checked it. He donated $3,500, amen, within 12 hours. God said, you're going to have heat and air conditioning in that shop over there. Say, what'd you have to do? I had to quit deciding, toying with the thing for 12 years to whether I was going to get one or not, and just step out by faith and say, I'm just going to try, see if the Lord's in this thing or not. And bam, we had it. I was in a hotel one time, sitting there, and didn't have no money, and got in there, and I thought, we're going to go to one of them nice Hampton Inns. I'm tired of them roach coach motels and roaches on the floor, and that don't fly good with that lady sitting over there. Those roach type places don't work well with her at all. And I don't particularly like them, but you know how men are. We'll sleep under a tree. But that ain't how ladies are. And then I was down in the lobby, and didn't really have the funds to go to a place like that. And sitting down there, I had my scripture T-shirt on, and I was checking my emails there, and I had a Bible verse. He must increase, I must decrease, in John chapter 3, verse 30. And some lady walked by, and she saw that scripture sign there, and she walked up there, and she said, I like your T-shirt. She said, you could probably use this, and laid down $100. I thought, well, praise the Lord, amen. How about that? Man, this place is bought and paid for. Where's the breakfast bar, praise God? I'm going to enjoy this place, amen, not be so stressed out about it. We needed that little printer. This little printer right here last week, Wednesday, I came in here on a Wednesday night, and I was determined, it's a long story. I made a mess of trying to get this printer thing that we needed. I needed it called a Dymo printer. And I needed that printer to print out these labels for the shipping labels. And I needed it bad. And we got one at the house there. It works great. It's the right one to get. I tried to cut corners and buy a cheapie and all that kind of thing. I just made a mess of things. And I went ahead and I thought, you know, I'm just going to bite the bullet and do it. I got to my post office box Thursday morning. And there was a lady, if I'm lying, I'm dying. Brother Josh, I put a bid on eBay. You know, you ever do eBay? I bid. I haggle, buddy. And they give you five times you can make a guess whether they'll take it or not. We go back and forth. I say, this is for a ministry. This is for a nonprofit ministry. We need this thing. I'm trying to work their emotions, amen, and get them to come down on their price, amen. Work the system a little bit. And I got them. They were $250. I got that bird down to $200 on a Wednesday after church. And I came in here thinking, man, if Brother Dilbert comes up and says, is there anything you need, brother? And he does that from time to time. I said, I'll tell him if he asks. Well, he didn't ask that night. I was kind of wondering if maybe he might. And I thought, well, if this is the night, I'll take him up on it. I said, well, there is a need, Brother Dilbert. Well, he didn't say nothing. And I had already got the bid for $200. And I wasn't sure what I was doing, but I got this in the mail the next morning. Amen, Brother John. That's $200, baby. Some lady from Pennsylvania, amen. Isn't that great, Miss Yvette? Amen. That's a $200 check that came in out of nowhere. And she didn't even know about it, this lady. Paid for. Sometimes you got to quit waffling with the decision and step out and do things by faith. I've made up my mind. It doesn't matter what others think. It only matters what God thinks. Sometimes you're going to feel like a fool. God called you to preach. The Bible says it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Sometimes on the street corner out there, fellas, you're going to feel like a fool. And sometimes that first step of faith by lifting up your voice like a trumpet. It's the hardest step to take. Get out there and lift it up and preach the Word of God. And don't worry about looking like a fool, whether it's on the street corner or out here, in here in the pulpit area. Don't worry about what people think. I do, but don't. Don't worry about it. I was at a meeting one time, Sammy Allen, he's gone to heaven now. I was in Resaca, Georgia. I was sitting out there, having a big magnetic scripture sign display set up. He said, he took a liking to me for some reason, and I had got up there and gave a 15-minute devotional, and I skinned their hides, buddy. Bunch of Baptist preachers out there, none of them use the Word of God. None of them put the Bible in their car. Well, they do now, some of them. And old Sammy Allen, buddy, he was full of the Bible. I mean, that guy could quote the book along, chapter after chapter after chapter. That guy could quote the Word. I mean, I didn't agree with the man on everything, but he looked at me one time and he said, "Hey, Magnet Man." I was sitting out there back halfway down that church, probably 2,000 people, preachers sitting out there at a big meeting. He said, "Hey, Magnet Man," called me, scared me to death. He said, "Hey, Magnet Man." They was all shouting and screaming about the preaching of the Word of God. He said, "Run around." I said, "What?" He said, "Run around, Magnet Man." I said, "Yes, sir." I jumped up, and buddy, I took off huffing it. I went around that church and went around them pews. I got up and down and around all that place. I was out of breath and panned like a wild man and sat down. I'm thinking, what just happened, amen? I said, that was wild. Never have I had anybody, you know, I just thought, you know what, the man of God, the preacher said run, so the Magnet Man ran, amen. Sometimes you just got to lay it all down and quit worrying what others are going to think. Some of you don't do things you ought to do because you're worried about what somebody's going to think about you. He said, he came up to me and he said, "Magnet Man, don't you ever lose that passion you got." He said, "Don't you ever lose that purpose you got. I've made up my mind. I can't change my past, but I can certainly change my future. I can't change where I've been, but I can change about how I'm going about where I'm going. I've made up my mind. Time is running out, and I better get busy and do something about it." We got a young man's meeting coming up on Saturday, right? This coming Saturday. Have you made up your mind to go, young man? A lot of young men sitting in here. You made up your mind to go? Or are you toying with it? Double-minded man's unstable in all his ways. The Bible says, time's running out. It's coming up. You're going to be like a man, you're going to be like a mouse. You're going to be a lion, you're going to be a lizard. You're going to be a gorilla, you're going to act like a monkey. You're going to be an eagle and fly for God, or you're going to be a little chickadee sitting on a branch somewhere chirping. You need to make up your cotton picking mind. I like men. I like to hang around men. I love this place. There's a lot of men in here. There's some serious birds in here. Now, you can hate me for this next point or not. We're about ready to go home. I'm about to wind this thing up. I watch TV. Cut that out up there. I just lost several people I know. But I don't care. Bye, amen. I watch television from time to time. I'll get up at 3 o'clock, work for 12 or 14 hours, make a scripture sign. I'll plop down in my brown fluffy chair, amen, and I'll watch alone. Amen. I like alone. Amen. I watch alone, and the favorite alone that I like is season 7, amen. This bird, his name is Roland Welker. That's Roland Welker right there, baby. That's a dude right there, buddy. That is a bad dude right there, buddy. He said, "I do extreme wilderness hunts in Red Devil, Alaska." That's Roland Welker right there, buddy. He became my hero. I don't know a lot about Roland Welker, but I know this. I don't know how spiritual he is. I'm not even sure he's even saved. But he did say this. He said, my mother, she was a believer, is how he put it. I thought, well, that's good. That's probably something we're close to maybe being saved, of a good saved mama. He said, "No, I'm not the biggest spiritual man." And someone asked him, they said, "Roland, they said, Roland, what's your favorite books? And he named a couple books. And he said, oh, yeah, and the Holy Bible is one of my favorite books. And didn't bat an eye. I thought, well, praise the Lord, that's good. I was watching that. I thought, that's a good thing. He lives in Red Devil, Alaska. He wears a head bandana. He's got tattoos up and down his arm. He's strong as an ox. He said, I've been living off the land most of my life. He said, I don't do all the pacifist, one with the wilderness bull. And he finished it, amen. He said, I don't do all that stuff on the show. He said, I'm not like those other contestants. Now, if you've never watched Alone, this is a show where they take 10 people and they drop them off in the middle of nowhere in the Arctic or Patagonia or somewhere else on the planet. It's somewhere really hard to live. They give them 10 items and they got to live for as long as they can without dying. Amen. They drop them off out there. He said, I got this. He said, I'm a bad. He said, I don't do all the pacifists. And most of them people in that show, they're like that. They're all tree huggers. They thank the animals. Thank you for your life. And Roland's not like that at all. He said, thank you, squirrel. Thank you. And they're petting these little squirrels. I'm thinking, you're an idiot. You're a blooming idiot, amen. And then they're saying, thank you, land, for providing this fish. Thank you, universe, for providing this grouse that I just shot out of the tree with my bow and arrow. He said, I don't do all that junk. He said, I'm a registered big game guide. I live in Red Devil, Alaska. I do extreme wilderness hunts. He said, when I get bored, I go logging just to see if I can smash myself that way or not. Man, we're talking logging, amen. Old Roland, when he's done his spare time, he goes out logging. He said, hey, man, they give me an opportunity to win $1 million. They said, if you can let whoever can last 100 days gets $1 million. He said, sign me up. I can do that. He said, there is nothing at home that's going to keep me from tapping out of this thing. Nothing I got going on at home that I'm going to have to tap out. You know, some of you have probably tapped out 2 or 3 times on God already. You know, I'm not tapping out. I mean, a lot of people tap out of serving God. I'm not. I feel like that man right there. I'm not tapping out of this thing. He said, there's nothing going on in my home life to make me tap out. Is there something going on in your home life that's going to make you tap out? You double-minded rascal, you. You ought to get it settled. I'm never tapping out of this thing. I'm going to serve Jesus Christ till the cows come home, till the rapture hits. He said, I'm the ultimate wilderness machine. During the show, he shot and tackled a muskox. That bird shot a muskox, and he didn't die. And that guy pulled his knife out. He went and jumped on that muskox back and wrestled out. I mean, we're talking about probably a 2,000-pound animal. I don't know. He jumped on the back of that thing, and he took his knife and cut that sucker open. Well, he's still alive. It's a bad dude right there. Roland, he's not the kind to get on that show. Me and Yvette, we can pick him out. Oh, they're not going to last. Boy, I miss Jimmy. I'm thinking about Jimmy back at home. Check him off. He's tapping out. He ain't serious about this thing. Some of them get on there, and they do their dances, and they do their theatrics, and they do their things they do on all that nonsense. That they're going to tap out. They're not serious about this thing. You've got to be tough to get through that little event. Just action. That's what Roland was. He said, I'm doing this to show the whole world that I'm the big bull of the North Woods. He said, you know, I made up my mind, I'm going to go the distance. He wasn't afraid to be extreme. He wasn't afraid to be different. He wasn't afraid to do whatever it took to win the prize. You going to win or are you going to lose? You know what we say when they tap out? Loser! You sorry dog loser. You didn't win. You're a loser. Some of them are tough. Some of these ladies, man, they scare me to death, amen. They're tough. And some of them last longer than men. You know, there's ladies in the Christian life. They're still going, and some of us men, we tap out. Got your feelings hurt. Don't like the way they looked at me. Not coming to church on Wednesday night. I don't like that crowd down there. I'll go Sunday morning just to touch base and get my ticket punched. Hey, you're not a rolling, amen. You're a quitter. You're not even in all the way. Get in, amen. Make up your mind tonight. Are you going to make up your mind or not? It might be to be happy or not. It might be to make up your mind to pass out tracts or to not pass out tracts. Go to church on Wednesday night or not go to church. Go to the camp meeting or not go to the camp meeting. Might be to get married or not get married. It might be to go to the Young's Men meeting or not go to the Young's Men meeting. It might be to go to the mission field or not go to the mission field. But make up your cotton picking mind tonight. Would you do that? Would you ask God, what's in my life that I need to make up my mind about? And I promise you, like Brother Jack taught this morning, it's going to be worth it all one day. Someday, baby. Just finish the race. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Father, I'm thankful tonight for the Word of God. And Lord, we just read a few verses and quoted a few, but God is quick and powerful. Lord, there's no accident you put in that book. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. God, help us, Lord. Search our hearts.